Blog Talk Radio.
I Riding Around by Morris Mills. Morris has been gigging and performing and just having a blast. People have been comparing him to Lenny Kravitz and Prince, and he's just loving every minute of it. So please continue your own networking with him also. And I guess we'll just cut to the chase and talk about sports, because it's a lot to talk about and so little time to squeeze the talk in. There have been people partying in the chat room, but most definitely call in 714-409-0614. So the Spurs are doing their thing, huh? So they're going to the next level. But I've been checking out Cowboys news. There's a lot of good things happening to Cowboys. A lot of Mav news is happening. And, of course, we all know about the Saints, about them appealing the situation that he's been granted, the punishment that he's been granted. And we all expected that, right? Okay, but I'm going to chime on in because we're going to talk about other things later on in the week, tomorrow, you know, always matters of the heart, and we'll be just talking about love and life and relationships and so on. And Friday, Sports Friday again, where Mr. Kevin Dorsey and his cousin, Mr. Ted Anderson, who are opening a car dealership business within the city limits of Jackson in the very near future, will continue their conversation with me on Friday, and I guess Rich Roughneck is a part of the show on Friday. Awesome. I think my cousin Linda might want to talk some sports on Friday. I'm not sure, but she might be calling in tomorrow to talk about relationships and love again, because did you all not love her info on Wednesday and on Monday? I said a blast. My cousin, she's just been, I've loved her my entire life. Like I said before, she was part of my upbringing and rearing me. And when I was a little bitty, itty girl, yeah, I talk about my tomboy side, loving to go fishing and you know, and being one of the guys. But my cousin Linda, she was a part of teaching me how to become a lady and how to, you know, taught me proper ways, proper etiquette, and how to carry myself and how to eat and just how to just be a lady, but be a good person regardless, you know. If you're a guy, you're taught to be a good gentleman. You know, it's a time and a place for us to show out, right? But I'm going to just go ahead and click it on and let Reggie have the floor. Also, he's going to talk a lot about boxing because he had a very good time on Saturday night. And you all know me. Well, it's a sad story happening also here in the state of Mississippi and Tennessee. You all see the two bodies that they discovered was the mother and the eldest daughter. Isn't that sad? I hope the younger daughters are still alive. And I must say also, shout out to everyone in presence at the press conference yesterday that I attended at 1 o'clock. My council person, Attorney Chakwe Lumumba, announced yesterday that he is going to, but that he's kicked off his campaign, not going to. He has kicked off his campaign to run for mayor of Jackson, Mississippi, 2013. And I was the first to ask him the question during the Q&A session. I asked him why did he decide not to run for re-election of Ward 2 and what inspired him to become the mayor. I did video tweetcast the footage, so I'm not sure if you all seen it. I'm not live. So I've been working on posting it. I video a lot of pre footage and a lot of post footage, and I should have stuck to what I was posting, and I posted them on my Ustream channel also, but I definitely would like for you all to hear his entire speech, which was just amazing. So I continue working on that tweetcast live and posting it so you all can, those of you that maybe missed it live can hear it. But his answer was very amazing. And as a matter of fact, you know, I've been a political enthusiast all my life, and I have pretty much like resisted the temptation of wanting to become a politician. But just by his answer, I shared this on Facebook. I shared this with my mother when I arrived home last evening, that I'm in prayer right now wondering if and this is shocking my me. If I should consider running for Ward 2 council person, I'm not joking. I'm serious. If I should run for a council person of Ward 2, And I'll talk later on about my reasons why I would, why that thought and why I'm in prayer regarding that decision of campaigning. There's like, I have a couple that might, you know, that might cause me to doubt running. And there's not skeletons in the closet. It's just that that I'm still legally married and going through a divorce. That I'm just coming out up front saying it. So I'm looking forward to becoming legally single real soon. That's my only, like, because, you know, I have no contact with my estranged husband. He might have contact with me, but I don't. Everything that my attorney in Dallas, everything legal is in my attorney's hands. Anything legal regarding my life is in my attorney's hands, not just all my legal thing of getting out of my second marriage. But that's the only that I have, honestly. I'm known to be a wild child, but I don't think I have anything that's too skeletal to prevent me from running an effective campaign if I decide to. I'm just putting it all out there on the table. And you let's say I'm joking. I'm not joking. Seriously, I'm not. You know, you all know how bad I'm about to be trying to get back to Dallas and go to school so I can focus. Because I have other endeavors I need to tackle before I even thought about even anything like politics. So it kind of shocks me also. So I'm just putting it out there. It depends on the type of response I get also. But like I said, ever since I was a little kid, people have kind of groomed me to prepare myself in my adult life to consider that. So it's not a surprise to a lot of people because some people know that they have planted that seed and encouraged me in that direction, you know. Okay, we're going to talk sports right now, so I just wanted to share that. But call us, 714-409-0614. And I got to talk with Rich about the grandmother that auditioned to be a Dallas Cowboy cheerleader too on Saturday. And that woman, she does not look 55. She looks 35. I mean, she looks great. Hello, Rich Rubnick.
What's up, Beth?
What's up? I love you.
I love you too.
Thank you.
Hey, man, some smooches.
If you all know Reg, I mean, he is amazing, amazing. I mean, he's a teddy bear. I mean, I call Elby Sure a teddy bear, but Reg is a teddy bear, too. What's on your mind sports-wise? I'm thinking, you're over there in Big D. Have you seen that 55-year-old grandmother that auditioned to be a Dallas Cowboy cheerleader?
You say, I didn't see that, but I'll be looking for her now.
I have her posted on Facebook.
She's 55?
But Red, she looks 35.
Oh, that's doable. That's very doable.
I mean, killer abs for days. and her face looks 35 to me.
I said, I'm gonna check that out, cause I'm definitely not looking at that. That one slipped under the radar for me. But.
Yeah, the Cowboys sent me an email this morning of a lot of stories and a lot of stuff happening with them at camp, and that story was like, I mean, it was a lot of other good stories about the new rookies and so on, but that grandmother. I thought I was going to see a picture of her literally grandmother-looking mother. I mean, woman. That woman looks 35.
Yeah, well, like I said, I think I think her name is Ernestine Walker. I'm not sure about her last name, but she's a professional bodybuilder. She's 74 years old, and she looks like she's about in her mid-40s or whatnot. I mean,
Her skin and complexion is real, like smooth and brown.
Exactly.
Yeah, I said, yeah. Man. Well, we need to get on it, don't we?
I mean, with a name like Ernestine, you know that that's about the only thing that gave her away about her age was, you know, her name. Other than that, I mean.
You're thinking she looked like Madea or something. But this lady's name is Sharon Simmons, and she's from Carrollton.
Okay. Well, I said you gave me something to do some research on.
Yep. And encouraging us to get up on it. When you see those abs, you're going to be like, God dang.
Hey.
So what do you want to talk about?
I said some things I don't discriminate on. That'll be one of them.
Exactly. So what do you want to talk about? I want to hear about your good time Saturday night watching the boxing match.
Oh yeah, it was a great match. I mean, I think a lot of people was a little taken aback by Miguel Cotto, but he showed a lot of grit and a lot of determination in the fight. And, you know, he showed up like he was really trying to give it a fight. I mean, I think if he wasn't so tentative, he might have gave Mayweather a run for his money, no pun intended. But Mayweather, of course, he kind of commanded and kind of dominated as far as just, you know, scoring as far as, you know, the fight go. He had to change his style up and be a little bit more tactical and practical in the fight. But Cotto didn't back down from it and definitely took the fight to Floyd. And, I mean, like I said, it was a very good fight. I mean, those guys were really, they were really tagging each other pretty hard. So they, I think it was a well-earned victory for Floyd Mayweather, but, you know, I think a lot of people was disappointed they didn't, you know, see, you know, Floyd just put on a show and then knock him out. But Cotto definitely went in there with a plan of showing that, hey, he wasn't no tomato can you just kick around.
that he could get whooped on.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think if Cotto wasn't too concerned, he gave Floyd too much respect during the fight, and he was just trying too hard not to lose. And I think sometimes that's one of the biggest mistakes you can make as a fighter is if you go in there overestimating your opponent. I think that Mayweather underestimated him a little bit, but, you know, and then Cotto overestimated him, and I think that's probably what helped Mayweather ensure victory. But I think it'll be great if they ever fight again.
Wow. Well,
God knows everybody's still trying to wait for the day to him and Pacquiao get into the ring. I know I have. But.
And you know what? I would like to see a rematch, too, between he and Ortiz.
Yeah, okay. Be honest with you, this was one of the first times I actually got a chance to really, see Mayweather operate, you know, for a whole 12-round fight and whatnot. So I've been wanting to just, like, you know, put him on the radar, check him out, see what all the hype is all about with Floyd Mayweather. You know, like I said, I was fairly impressed.
Good. Now I was like, okay, because usually I check it out. Tell everybody where you were at, where you watched the boxing match at.
I was at the Victory Tavern in right there at the American Airlines Center, right there at Victory Plaza.
Shout out to everybody at Victory Plaza and the Victory Tavern that was there Saturday night, having fun with Red Roughneck.
Well, I mean, it was really great being in there. Nice ambiance in there. Like I said, I have to learn to start getting out more often because it was definitely a great experience.
Flood the place. Tell us about it. The food, the atmosphere, everything was good.
Right. Yeah. It was excellent. I mean, I'm definitely going to be checking out Victory Plaza a lot more often now. You know, now that I'm at a different place in my life now. So. Pardon me.
I was saying I can't wait to get to Big D. We're going to be living there probably.
Well, like I said, I doubt I'll be moving down there. Those condominiums down there, I ain't gonna be a little too rich for my blood.
No, I'm talking about always being active Victory Tavern. You know how you go someplace so often you should live there?
Oh, yeah. It could be like those years. Be somewhere
yeah.
Everybody knows your name. I don't think I'll be in there like Norm.
Yeah. That's what I'm talking about.
Exactly. Okay. But, hey, you know, I say anything's possible, so I'm definitely going to be keeping my ear to the ground a little more often and checking out what's going on. I mean, they have done such a renaissance in that area because back in the 90s, all it was, you had the West End Marketplace and you had Deep Element Dallas, but Victory, you know, Victory Plaza, that whole area is just incredible.
Wow. Shout out to the West End Marketplace. Spaghetti House, as soon as I get to BD, I'm on my way. We're on our way. So if you all work, anybody listening that work at Spaghetti House.
You got a lot of plans. We're going to see right now. We're going to be like an item when we get to Dallas. So.
Exactly. It's been a lot of talk, but just wait. So let's see, we're
going to
talk NBA, NFL.
Well, one of the things I wanted to talk about the divorce drama that's been going on with Deion and Pilar Sanders. The decision was made by the judge. It kind of made a little stalemate. As it stands right now, Pilar will have custody of her daughter, and Deion will have custody of the two boys. And I've seen, you know, I mean, it's very unfortunate.
All three of these kids are their kids together, not the
right,
kids in a formal relationship marriage. Okay.
Right. Because Deion already has two older children. I think they're both grown.
Yeah. So the two sons, they if I'm not correct, I had seen footage of them, like, filing a report against the mother that morning that she was arrested.
Yes, to my understanding, Laura
had like, Laura's in the wrong.
Right. They had, allegedly, Laura had spanked one of the boys with a belt and that didn't go over too well, and this thing is really like the war of the roses right now, because apparently the fight that they had a couple of weeks ago seems like now it shows that there was some audio tape involved.
Not the kind of videotape you and I were talking about 3 months ago.
They didn't have a video camera. I mean, I guess anything's possible. I guess that'll be next. But I understand
kind of
there's audio involved. And apparently Pilar had basically, is alleged to believe to have, you know, brought the cassette tape to kind of catch Deion in rare form. And allegedly, he had the child locked into his son locked in the room, and he was basically telling Pilar that, you know, the child didn't want to see him. I mean, didn't see her. And words got exchanged through the door, and then Deion came out the door and charged at her.
Wow.
I know my
mother said she watched the interview of Deion on one of the morning shows last week, and Deion said something about she had called an ambulance or something, and I think that's what one of the sons had got mad about, too, because I think she was trying to say that he had struck her or something, and Deion was like, he's never laid hands on a woman. Do you hear anything about that, about an ambulance? She called an ambulance for a minute.
Like, without going all TMZ about the whole thing, from what I gather, it seemed that let me add this, there was this huge statue, and when I mean huge. I mean the statue had to have been about at least 4 feet tall, and looked like it weighed well over 100 pounds. Allegedly, Dion picked that statue with one hand and tried to hit her with it. And, you know, I mean, and you can look at this statue. You can look at this statue and tell that this statue was pretty big, pretty large, pretty heavy statue. I mean, if he could have struck an elephant with it, he probably would have knocked the elephant down. You know, I mean, it was a huge statue and expensive. So that would have been a lot to behold if he'd have used that as a weapon. But I mean, like I said, this whole situation is ugly. This is just, I mean, this is not going to end well, as we should know, as something, a high profile case like this. It was kept under wraps for a while, but now it has really hit a boil.
Well, I didn't know it was going to be so explosive. Wow.
And,
I've heard rumors that they were breaking up like right after the Hall of Fame ceremony, and then I thought it was her. If it was happening, I thought it might have been her, the wife. Then when I found out that Dion told everybody online, I was like, wow. And then when she was resisting the divorce and saying that she didn't want to get divorced, but if you don't want to get divorced, why you act like this? Ain't no way in heck I'm staying with somebody. I don't care if I'm in love with you or not. You act like that.
Well, yeah. I mean, looking back on that Hall of Fame speech.
I love Pilar. I'm a big supporter. This is one of my four favorite couples. I was just shocked. I thought that would be the couple to stay together to the last day. And we're looking back, what?
But looking back at the Hall of Fame ceremony, when you was looking at the speeches and definitely looking at, you know, some of the things Dion said in the speech, and then when the camera kind of went back and forth between Dion and Pilar, you could sense some tension then, and some dissension. You could really sense that, you know, they were just putting on a good face for that day, but little did we all dream that, you know, things would have gotten hit, you know, was just so tense even as far back as then. So there's no telling how long this has been going on in the house. And, of course, the children were interviewed in court yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Okay, what happened in court yesterday?
Yesterday the judge ruled that the children have been basically been split up. Dion will have custody of the boys right now, and Law will have custody of her daughter. And I started thinking back to Bernie Mac, and he was like, you mean separate as it divides? So I thought about Bernie Mac on that moment when the custody was divided amongst the children. I mean, divorce is already an ugly matter, but when you add millions of dollars and celebrity status involved, it's a mess.
Because I'm stressed out, and I have no contact with my second husband, so these two under the same roof and just hashing it out, but you would think they could handle this in a civil manner. But we're on the outside looking in, but, you know.
Exactly. And, of course, Dion will maintain possession of the house, but they both did their wish as far as the restraining order. They've been ordered to stay 500 yards from each other, not feet, yards. I mean, I guess after they divorce, they'll be 500 miles away. I mean, I don't think it's in the best interest of anyone for these two people to be in the same room unless they're in a courtroom.
I love your Facebook posting regarding that situation from Friday. You was like, wow, they both filed restraining orders against each other. You stated something like they need to stay as far away as possible from one another. Because I know a few weeks ago, Tom Joyner had reported that on his show that they that she couldn't go to the mansion for like the next 2 months or something.
Right, right. On a preliminary separation, I mean, like the preliminary restraining order that Dion had filed. You're right, she couldn't be on the premises for 60 days. And then they'll review the restraining order, and they might have to revise it and do it, you know, and do another one, just kind of to keep tabs on what's going on. But you know, I guess now that Dion's considered media personnel now, there's a lot of things that's going to be off limits that he probably would not have been privy to before he became a journalist, and it's just that with Dion's situation, he know he has to be very, very careful of what happens and what he says and what he does. So,
exactly.
Because God knows we wouldn't want to have another O.J. Simpson on our hands.
You're reading my mind, Reg. That's exactly what I was sitting here thinking about and listening to you and digesting every word you're saying, and that was what I was going to make a comment about. Like, oh, my God. You know, this is reminding me of another, I mean, Dion is one of my all-time favorites, and then this, I'm sitting here thinking about another one of my favorites, O.J., and I'm like, oh, my God, you know? Yeah.
Right. I mean, well, just to speak briefly,
and
there's
I'm gonna let
supposed to be some special investigator that's supposed to be doing a story on Channel 11 News here in Dallas tomorrow. That's going to shed light into the fact that O.J. Simpson may not have killed Nicole and Ron Goldman. And, I mean, it's hard to believe now. It's been, you know, it's hard to believe it's almost been 20 years since those murders first happened.
Exactly.
And all of the controversy and groundswell that has happened since then. And now O.J. sitting in a prison for stealing his own stuff.
Exactly.
You know, just...
But O.J. know he could have handled that better. And he should have smelled the setup. To me, I mean, I know sometimes I rarely share my opinions on air with you guys, but to me, that was clearly a setup. And
oh, absolutely, it was a setup. And I just can't believe he was stupid enough to fall for it.
I can understand how O.J., I know he wanted his ish back, but I cannot understand how he just walked into that. You know, he should have seen, but he wanted his ish back, like you said. But I want to remind the listening audience, you all know I always express about how much I love to talk with the one of my favorite football players. And Reg Roughneck and I are working on getting an interview with him, you know. Don't be surprised, you know, when we tell you, hey, we have an exclusive interview with the man himself, O.J., because it definitely would be we will be allow him to talk. Yes, we will ask him questions. I don't plan on asking him any legal questions. I just want to talk. I want to talk to him. And I'm sure a lot of you want to listen to him and talk to him. And Reg, now, I don't know what type of questions. Reg and I are longtime friends. But I don't know what type of questions Reg have for him. You know, you know.
You got an idea. You know me now. I mean, I'm not gonna hold back on him as far as, you know, asking them the questions that need to be asked and getting the answers that need to be answered. I mean.
But Reggie from the streets of Jacktown, O.J. from the streets of San Francisco, and just two real brothers. You know, talking out. So just, you know, I'm someone that I just want to talk to him, see what's going on. Mainstream media, why mainstream media is not booking interviews with him, I don't know why. You know?
Because there's this word that they appear to like to use to describe O.J., and that's pariah. You know, people want to just treat him like he's a total, complete, you know, discard, like he's something that doesn't need to exist on the planet anymore. And, you know, for me, I saw the trial, you know, every day when they had it on TV. And a lot of people, you know, didn't just look at the trial. They was fielding all their opinions and interviews off of 6 o'clock news. And what you heard on the news is totally different from what happened in the courtroom a lot of times. And that's when I realized just how big of a, this was like a media circus. And a lot of the facts from the trial never even made it to TV, and that's the reason why a lot of people feel that this man is guilty.
And there are people that I know that lived in L.A. and in that area at that time back then. When I talk to people that actually lived in the area and it was around, that was like the every part of their everyday life, a lot of, that's a good point you bring up, because some people tell me, well, there's a lot of stuff y'all didn't see on TV and on the media, you know?
Exactly.
They were like, it was a lot of rumors that was around that case of who, of other suspects, you know?
Right. I mean, there was so much going on during that time.
Yeah, because, you know, they say it was a lot of other suspects, you know, more than was presented to us, to the media.
Exactly. I mean, I think, you know, whether it was deliberate or not, I mean, the general public was definitely kept out of the loop on a lot of what was going on. And it could have been handled a lot differently, and I think that, you know, the media, far as back then to now, I think today's situation, having the cameras in the courtroom was supposed to have kept everybody totally in tune with what was going on, but the stories were so manipulated.
Can you just imagine social networking existed like it back then, like it does now, during the OJ case?
I mean, it's a lot of things that are different now compared to then. But then we only talking 20 years ago. It's not like,
we wasn't tweeting and Facebooking back then. But CNN,
right,
was on it. One thing I can say,
right, we didn't have Twitter back then.
CNN was on it back then.
Right.
Cell phones weighed about 10 or 15 pounds back then. CNN should have been called the OJ Network.
But God, I mean that one event changed media and celebrity type of coverage. A lot of things changed behind that one event.
But you know what images? If I'm not mistaken, I don't know. I might be wrong. My memory might be wrong. And we only have like 2 more minutes. Just wanted to remind you, I'm watching time, but the image that lies in my head, now, I don't know if OJ did it or didn't do it, but, you know, it's doubt. And it was a messy, I guess kind of messy case. But my image is, if I'm not mistaken, Reg, when he got out the car and arrived on the scene, wasn't he immediately handcuffed?
Yes, he was.
And see, that image right there, I'm like, what? They had already made up their mind
that he was a suspect from the very beginning.
Exactly. I was just so baffled then. Like, what? This man is in distraught. Just heard that 2 people are dead. You know, murdered in a horrific manner. Mother of his children. Yeah, he's had a turbulent relationship. I'm a woman who has been battered. And, you know, just because someone's a batter does not mean they're a killer. But as soon as this man arrived to the scene, he gets handcuffed.
Well, as what a lot of people don't know is that, you know, Mark Furman, who was the lead detective who allegedly filed all the incriminating evidence, he was a patrol officer at one point in time when OJ and Nicole had their first run-in with the law, and he was the patrol officer who arrived there at the estate when they had their first scrape, and everybody know how that one ended up, and that's when he first got charged with a domestic battery and got placed on probation.
Exactly.
So, of course, years later, when he becomes a detective and she winds up deceased, Furman just kind of had a little bit of agenda that he wanted to try to take OJ down for what had happened. And then, of course, in court, they revealed a lot of the things that Detective Mark Furman had going during that time with